Okay. I welcome once again all the devotees for the Ramakatha part 4, and I am very thankful to each and every devotee who joined this session. And today's class will be given by His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji. Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna Mataji. Yes, I am here.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my Dandavat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your association and making us enlightening on this Ramakada. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you so much for your kind welcome and for organizing this conference call. My humble obeisances to you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Gauranga. Let us get started. We'll start with Mangala Charan.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati sva padantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvise Namaha Pancha Tatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. I would like to thank each and every one of you for joining this conference call today. I would like to offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of all of you, all devotees who are listening. I would also like to humbly beg each and every one of you to please bless me so that by the power of your blessings for the next 1 hour, Guru and Gauranga will empower me. Seeing your enthusiasm to hear and seeing that you are giving your heartfelt blessings to me, Guru and Gauranga will somehow empower me, although I am unqualified, insincere, filled with anarthas. Somehow I pray and I hope that by your good wishes and blessings, Guru and Gauranga will empower me for the next 1 hour to speak some Harikatha. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So today we are going to discuss some glories of our eternal Srimati Sita Devi, the wife and consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ram. So yesterday we discussed about Hanumanji, how Hanumanji approached Sri Ram. At the behest of Sugriv, he was initially disguised, but when he changed his form, Sri Ram revealed himself to him through Lakshman. And Sri Ram even allowed Hanumanji to carry him and Lakshman on his shoulders to Sugriv. What we learn here is, Hanumanji gave up his false identity as a human being and took on his natural identity as Vanar. And then he was able to carry Ram and Lakshman on his shoulders. Which means that when we are in our normal swabhav, when we are in our normal nature, we are non-duplicious. We are not pretending. We are in our natural disposition, natural behavior that Krishna has given us. Then we can serve Krishna the best. Hanumanji was able to serve Sri Ram best in his natural form as Vanar, Shrestha, Hanuman, rather than a Brahman. As a Brahman, he would not be burning Lanka. As a Brahman, he would not be carrying two Kshatriyas on his shoulders and jumping. So, to perform our service, we should be ourselves. We should not try to imitate any other devotee or take up the service of somebody else. Krishna has made us in a particular way, and we should be ourselves, just be ourselves, and serve Krishna to the best of our ability while remaining in our own skin. That is a lesson that we learn. We should not be imitators. We should not aspire to be this devotee or that devotee. No, the way Krishna has made us, some devotees are very good orators, some devotees are very good at cracking jokes and thereby inspiring and attracting devotees. Some devotees are good at memorizing verses, some devotees are good at mridanga, kartal, harmonium, singing, deity worship, shastric knowledge. Some devotees are good at dancing in kirtan, some devotees are good at management, some devotees are rich. They can give a lot of donations. So Krishna has made everybody differently. Some devotees are very good at just sitting and listening attentively and thereby inspiring others, inspiring even the speaker to speak enthusiastically. So Krishna has given us different talents, and if we remain true to our swabhav, the bhav that has naturally been given to us by Krishna, swabhav. If we are true to our nature, swa means our, bhav means nature. If we are true to our swabhav and we execute bhakti with our natural swabhav, then Krishna is very pleased. If we are pretending to be somebody else, wanting to be somebody else, I want to become like that, I want to be on the stage like that devotee, I want to be famous like that devotee, that is not healthy. That is not healthy. Hanumanji is teaching us. So he gave up his form as Brahman and became the powerful Vanar to serve Ram. Then when the search began, Sri Ram and Sugriv, they sent different Vanars in different directions, four directions, north, east, west and south. But Sri Ram and Sugriv chose Hanuman to go in the southern direction. This is also very instructive, my dear friends. Because Sugriv remembered that that Rakshas who was carrying that beautiful lady with him, who had thrown the jewels, who later on was confirmed to be Sita Devi, Sugriv remembered that that airplane, that Viman in which Ravan was carrying Sita, Sugriv remembered that it went in the southern direction. In the southern direction. Even Jatayu had pointed to the southern direction. So all these indicators meant that Sita was taken in the south direction after her abduction. So the maximum probability, maximum chances of finding Sita Devi was in the southern direction. So Sugriv and Ram dispatched a team of powerful, reliable, responsible vanars in the northern direction, another team in the west, another team in the east, and they kept the best team, most reliable team, to go in the south direction. Vali's own son, Angad, the topmost vanar, Vanara Mukhya, Hanumanji, and the powerful Jambavan. All these three great personalities were kept in one team, and this team was given responsibility for searching for Mother Sita in the southern direction. What does this mean? It is a very important lesson for all of us ISKCON devotees. It means that service should be given based on qualification, not arbitrarily, not whimsically. Service should be allotted based on qualification, based on swabhav, based on ability, based on competency, not just like that, not randomly. The maximum chance of finding Sita Devi was in the southern direction, and Ram and Sugriv sent Hanumanji in the southern direction. This is teaching us a lesson in leadership. That services, whether it is deity worship, giving class, leading kirtan, becoming a counselor or a bhakti vriksha leader, it should be not allotted. These services should not be given, or Brahman Diksha, or Diksha, Harinam Diksha, or becoming temple president, or even if you go higher, becoming GBC, becoming guru. All these responsibilities should be awarded based on competency, based on swabhav, based on spiritual advancement, based on abilities. Hanumanji was sent in the southern direction. He was not sent in the northern direction or eastern direction or western direction. He was sent in the most important direction. Hanumanji and Angad and Jambavan. Powerful leaders to support him. So when Hanumanji and his team, they reach the tip of the ocean, they meet Jatayu's brother, Sampati. It's a very beautiful story, but our focus today is we want to reach Srimati Sita Devi very fast. So I'm going really fast because we want to have darshan of Sita Devi. We want to discuss a drop from the ocean of Sundarkand. We don't want to discuss the abduction of Sita Devi. It's very painful. We do not want to discuss her going to the forest. That is also very painful. Today, being the last discussion on Ramayana, we will keep it sweet. We'll give it a happy ending. We will talk about the Sundarkand, how Mother Sita was discovered by Hanumanji. So when they meet Hanumanji, Angad, Jambavan and their team, they meet Sampati. They request Sampati to look in the southern direction, into the vast ocean. If he can see with his vulture eyes, very sharp eyes, if he can spot Srimati Sita Devi. So Sampati looks perched high at his vantage point. He looks in the southern direction. And beyond the huge, unlimited ocean, he sees an island of Lanka. There he sees a garden, Ashoka garden. And there, sitting under a tree, he sees Srimati Sita Devi. And he confirms that this is the same divine lady who was carried by Ravan few months ago, in that southern direction. So Sampati tells Hanumanji, Angad, Jambavan, that yes, Sita is there, I can see her. You cannot see, but I can see her. And he gives the exact location. Another very valuable lesson. Whatever talents, whatever abilities have been given to us by Krishna, we should use them cooperatively. Sampati doesn't say that, okay, I am going to spot Sita Devi, I am going to tell you exactly where she is, but you must tell Sri Ram that it was me who spotted Sita. Or, Hanumanji, you are going to go, so carry me on your shoulders and carry me back so that when we meet Ram, I will be able to tell him that it was me who spotted Sita. I must get my due credit. I am just asking for what is due. I should be acknowledged. No. Sampati had the ability to spot Sita Devi. He did it as a servant. And he did it without expecting anything in return. And he did it with a team spirit. Cooperation. If we all work together, there is so much strength. If Sampati would have worked alone, he cannot even fly. No strength. If Hanumanji would have done alone everything that he could, he would not be able to accomplish much because by the curse, he had forgotten his own abilities. It required Jambavan to remind him of his power and strength and ability. If Angad was alone, he couldn't do it. All he could do was jump to Lanka, but he didn't have the stamina and strength to jump back. What is the use? He would have discovered Sita Devi, but he would never have been able to come back and report it to Sri Ram. What is the use? Jambavan also did not have the strength to jump because of his advanced age all the way to Lanka and back. But he had the power to inspire Hanumanji and remind him of his powers because Jambavan was so old. He knew the history of Hanuman, how he was cursed by the rishis. So you see here, there are four characters, my dear friends. There is Sampati, there is Angad, there is Jambavan, and there is Hanuman. All four of them are very tightly holding each other's hands and working cooperatively. Sampati spots Mother Sita. Angad gives permission and encouragement to Hanumanji to go, and he stands on one leg throughout the time when Hanumanji was in Lanka, earnestly praying for Hanumanji's success and safe return. So Angad prayed, gave permission, being the prince regent, the next king. He gave permission. Jambavan removed the curse of Hanumanji by reminding him of his divine strength and power. And Hanumanji actually did it. So you see, all four immensely contributed. Nobody could have done it single-handedly, but together they did it very smoothly, very successfully. So very, very important lesson. So what does Sampati see when he looks at Lanka, trying to see Srimati Sita Devi? There's a very beautiful verse that Sampati speaks in Valmiki Ramayana, and we will hear this verse. Sampati, he sees Srimati Sita Devi, and what does he say? How does he report to Angad, Jambavan, and Hanumanji? He says, Sacha kamae pralobhyanti bhakshay bhojay chamaithili na bhokshati mahabhaga dukhamagna yashashwini. Sacha kamae pralobhyanti bhokshay bhojay chamaithili. Maithili means Srimati Sita Devi, who came from the kingdom of Mithila. She is completely perfect and competent to fulfill all her desires. But na bhokshati, she is not eating anything. Although all kinds of foodstuffs are being given to her by Ravan and Ravan's maid servants, the Rakshasis, although they are giving all foods and drinks to Sita Devi, oh my dear Hanuman, my dear Angad, and my dear Jambavan, I can see that she has become emaciated because she is not eating or drinking anything. although she is Mahabhaga, she is the goddess of fortune, she is Yashasvini. She is the goddess. Yash means fortune. Yashasvini means the goddess of fortune. Although she is the goddess of fortune, she is Sita Devi, she is Lakshmi Devi. She is not eating or drinking anything. In Vaikuntha, she cooks. The service of cooking for Krishna belongs to Srimati Radharani, to Lakshmi Devi, to Sita Devi. Yet, she herself is not eating anything now. She is deprived of all food. Why? She is self-depriving. Because she is not able to serve Sri Ram, the Lord of her life. And therefore, Dukkha Magna Yashasvini. The goddess of fortune is Magna, is completely engrossed, completely overwhelmed with Dukkha, with misfortune. The goddess of fortune is overwhelmed with misfortune. Oh, what a pity, pitiable sight, Sampati is narrating to Hanumanji and others. Sacha kamay pralobhyanti bhakshay bhojay cha maithili na bhokshati mahabhaga dukkha magna yashasvini. After hearing this, Hanumanji becomes very angry. I must go and save Mother Sita. And Jambavan gives him all inspiration. You are very strong. Your father is Vayu. You can fly at the speed of wind. Brahmaji has blessed you that even the Brahmastra will not be effective on you. Surya has educated you and he has given you blessing that fire. Agnidev has blessed you that fire will never burn you. Suryadev has said that all the Vedas will never leave your mind. In this way, you have been immensely blessed by all the Devatas. Therefore, please go and do the needful. And Angad is praying and he's asking all the other monkeys to stand on one leg as tapasya until Hanuman's safe return. Intently praying for Hanuman's success. So this is Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. This is Sankirtan. This is cooperation. This is International Society for Krishna Consciousness, my dear friends. We support each other. We pray for each other. We encourage each other. We don't try to pull each other down. Hanumanji, Simhika, Lankini, Mandar Mountain, he encountered 3 obstacles on his way. But we don't have time to discuss. Each obstacle indicates one impediment in devotional service, in Krishna consciousness. Hanumanji successfully passed all the tests and he finally reached Lanka. Now Hanumanji was searching and searching everywhere in Lanka, taking a very small, very minute form so that he will not be detected. He was searching everywhere for Sita. He entered the palace of Ravan undetected. There, he was looking through different rooms and he saw many beautiful heavenly ladies, half-dressed, sleeping, intoxicated. But none of them appeared to be like Sita Devi. Nobody was as beautiful as he had heard about Sita Devi. So he kept looking. Then finally, he went into the bedroom of Ravan. There Hanumanji saw Ravan sleeping peacefully on a very beautiful bed made of pure gold and ivory and studded with beautiful jewels, diamonds and rubies and pearls. In those days there were no artificial, not artificial but not human grown pearls in the pearl factory, where artificially the shells are cultivated and pearls are made. They used to actually dive deep into the ocean and find the oysters and real pearls, which are very, very rare, very expensive. And not only that, not just earthly jewels. Hanuman, Ravan had celestial gems and jewels also, which he had stolen from the devatas, from the demigods. And Hanumanji was watching all this. And then he carefully looked at Ravan. Ravan had only one head and 2 hands. When he would be in his privacy, enjoying, he would take a formed with two hands and one head. But when he was sitting in his court, when he was fighting, at that time, he would assume a huge, gigantic form with 20 hands and 10 heads. And it would appear as if he's a huge mountain which has got 4 5-headed serpents on it. His 20 hands looked like 4 5-hooded serpents. So he was very, very powerful. But right now, as he was sleeping on his bed, in his bedroom, very comfortable, he had a very handsome form with just one head and 2 hands. And Hanumanji observed Ravan. He appeared so powerful, such a formidable personality. He had many scars on his body from previous wars. He was very, very effulgent, very powerful. And Hanumanji was thinking that if only he would have given up his sins, if only he would have been pious, Lord Vishnu would have blessed him so much that he could have been the controller of this universe. This entire Brahmanda, Lord Vishnu would have happily gifted to this Ravan. He is so qualified, so qualified. But alas, he has given himself to sinful ways of life. And then Hanumanji looked at a very beautiful girl lying next to Ravan on the same bed. She was also half intoxicated. She was also half dressed, and her body was decorated with very beautiful celestial jewels. And initially Hanumanji wondered, could this be Sita Devi? She is so beautiful. She looks like a demigoddess. Could she be Sita Devi? But then Hanumanji immediately came to the conclusion, there is no way she is Sita Devi. She cannot be Sita Devi, because Sita Devi would never wear such beautiful ornaments, such beautiful clothes, and she would never lie down so comfortably next to this wicked Ravan. So he immediately came to the conclusion that this cannot be Sita, but this has to be Ravan's wife, principal, chief wife, Mandodari. In this way, Hanumanji kept looking for Sita. Now, my dear friends, please pay attention. Please listen carefully. Who is Hanumanji? He's a Brahmachari. He's a Brahmachari. And what is he doing in Lanka? He has come to serve Sri Ram. And what is his service now? He has to carefully look at these different Matajis, enter their bedroom, and look at them very carefully in their privacy as they are lying down on their bed, half naked. And he has to not just glance at them, he has to look at them carefully and match the features that has been told to him by Sri Ram to see if that is Sita or not. So Hanumanji, literally being a Brahmachari, his Ram Seva, his service to Lord Ram, is demanding him to stare carefully, analyze, look at all these beautiful ladies who are very lusty and who are half naked. This is a very valuable lesson for all of us, my dear friends. Sometimes our service to Guru and Gauranga may require us to go on Harinam, where we have to look at people, smile at people. Some of these people may be inappropriately dressed. Sometimes we go to a park for Harinam. We may see men and women acting publicly, engaging publicly in inappropriate behavior. And as Sankirtan team, we may be required to be around them. Our service to Guru Gauranga does many times require us to be on the internet for different things. Our service may be to look up some YouTube videos. Our service may be to go on ISKCON Desire Tree or do some research on Vedabase. So our service requires us to be on the internet. But what we do on the internet, we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. Because Hanumanji was completely absorbed in service to Sita and Ram, because he was completely service oriented. Although he was in the ocean of lust, he was in the ocean of temptations, he was not, even a drop of that ocean of temptation and lust did not make him wet, did not touch him. He was like the lotus flower, far above the murky waters of lust and temptations. Why? Because he was completely Krishna conscious, completely Ram conscious, completely absorbed in his service, completely dedicated, sold out to the service of Sitaram. So if we are like that, always remembering, just like Lakshman was always meditating on the lotus feet of Srimati Sita Devi, then we will be protected. But if our attention goes here and there, then we will be just drowned in the ocean of temptations, in the hurricane of temptations. It's a storm in the middle of the ocean. First of all, we are in the middle of the ocean. We cannot swim across. We are going to drown. On top of that, if there is a hurricane of temptation, then what to do? So we are in the ocean of lust, and we are all alone. And if we are not careful, then we are throwing ourselves in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of a hurricane of temptations. So we have to be very careful. We are in the material world, and we are trying to practice Krishna consciousness in this material world. This material world, which is reminding us at every moment, enjoy your senses, enjoy your senses. This material world, which is making us forget at every moment Krishna consciousness. Forget Krishna consciousness. It's okay. It's not important. Your job is important. Your money is important. Your enjoyment is important. Look at everyone else. They're enjoying. Look at your friends. Look at your colleagues, what they're doing. They're enjoying. When will you enjoy? You won't be able to enjoy when you become old. So many, this material world is designed so that we forget Krishna. And in this material world, my dear friends, we have decided to practice Krishna consciousness. So how careful we have to be. Hanumanji had no devotee association. It's not like he had 4 or 5 devotees with him to remind him, Prabhu, don't look too closely at the Matajis. Be careful. Apparently, Hanumanji had no association. But internally, he was having association. Internally, he was completely fixed up in remembering Sita and Ram. So he was protected. Internally, he was in association, proper association, Hari Guru Vaishnavas. So he was protected. So similarly, sometimes we are put in a position where we may not have devotee association. For example, when we are traveling, for example, when we are in the office, we may not have association, but we should have internal association. We should have internal association. A very important lesson that Hanumanji is teaching us. He could not find Mother Sita anywhere in the palace. Finally, he went outside the palace, near the palace, in Ravan's favorite garden, Ashoka Garden. This had beautiful trees bearing tasty fruits, beautiful plants with fragrant, colorful flowers, beautiful lakes, beautiful streams, beautiful archways, beautiful bridges to walk over those lakes and streams. Just a beautiful, beautiful garden. Nice, soft, green grass. Perfect for Ravan's enjoyment. And the fruits that Ravan ate, sometimes he did eat fruits when he was not eating Brahmins. He used to eat fruits also. So the fruits would come from this garden. The favorite garden of Ravan. And in this garden, Hanumanji suddenly saw a group of Rakshasis. They were sitting in a circle. And he went closer and saw, oh, they were all sitting and talking. And very close to them, under a big tree, he saw a lady who was very thin, very emaciated. She appeared very tired, very frail, very weak. She had lost all color. And it appeared as if she had not had a bath in months. Her clothes were dirty. And there were streaks of tears on her cheeks. And she appeared in great distress. Hanumanji immediately understood that this has to be Sita Devi. Although externally, she was not looking very well kept. She was not having any makeup. But still, her beauty was unmistakable. Even though externally she had lost all luster and she was crying, she had not eaten any food in months, she had not taken a bath in months, but still she was like a powerful fire covered by ashes. All you had to do is just remove the ashes and the fire would blaze. Hanumanji carefully considered the situation. How do I approach her? I cannot go directly in front of her, otherwise she'll get scared and she will scream and the Rakshasis will get alerted and it will be a chaos. They might attack Sita Devi, thinking that I am here to rescue her. So what do I do? He carefully considered the situation. And then he slowly, from the branches of a tree, slowly, in a very small form, very sukshma form, he went in one of the branches near to where Sita Devi was sitting. Perched up on those branches, looking at Sita Devi in her direction, Hanumanji started singing Ram Stuti, started glorifying Sri Ram. He described the physical beauty of Sri Ram. He described the beautiful characteristics of Sri Ram. He described the different accomplishments of Sri Ram, how he helped Vishwamitra Muni get rid of all those demons who were causing nuisance for the Yajna. How in Sita Swayamvar he broke the bow of Shivji, how he married Sita Devi, how he subdued Parshuram, how to keep the word of his father, he happily accepted a 14 years of exile, how he and Sita Devi lived happily in Chitrakoot, how he killed so many demons at Janasthan, 14,000 demons headed by Khara and Dushan. He narrated the story. Hanumanji sang in a very poetic way up to the point where Srimati Sita Devi is kidnapped by Ravan. And Mother Sita is in ecstasy hearing the glorification of Sri Ram. And she's looking here, she's looking there. Where is the sound coming from? Where is this poetry coming from? And in the branches, she spots a tan-colored creature, very small. He is less than half the size of Sita Devi. And she wonders, who is this person? And when their eyes meet, Sita Devi and Hanumanji, Hanumanji folds his hands, offers his obeisances, and jumps down from the tree. And he's appearing like a very small baby monkey. A monkey who is the size of not even a cat, but the size of a kitten. Very cute. Kitty Hanuman. So Sita Devi looks at him very small and she asks him, who are you? You look so different. I wonder if you are Ravan who has come in this form to speak to me. Or I wonder if you are a messenger of Ravan who has come to attack me. Hanumanji tells her that my name is Hanuman. I am the servant of Sri Ram. I am the messenger of Sri Ram. I am the son of Vayudev and I am the minister of Sugriv. O noble lady, are you Sita Devi? And Srimati Sita Devi confirms that yes, indeed, she is Sita, the wife of Sri Ram, the daughter of Janak Maharaj. Then Hanumanji says, please, I have a message from your husband, Sri Ram, for you. Can I convey that message to you, please? And after hearing the glorification of Sri Ram, Srimati Sita Devi concludes that this cannot be Ravan. And this cannot be a messenger of Ravan, because Ravan and Ravan's messenger can never glorify Sri Ram from the bottom of the heart with such choice words. Uttama Shloka. It's not possible. This has to be a devotee. This has to be Ramdut. So she says, yes, please go ahead. So Hanumanji says that after you were abducted, Ram and Lakshman have been eagerly searching for you, desperately searching for you. They have accumulated a huge army of very powerful monkeys, vanars, and they are just wanting to find out where you are. As soon as they find your whereabouts, they are going to come and rescue you. Ram will be here and he will kill Ravan, don't worry. And as a token, he has sent his own ring with me to show you. And this ring is inscribed with his very name, Ram. And Hanumanji, from his cloth, he removes a ring which Ram had given him. And he gives it to Sita Devi. When Srimati Sita Devi sees that ring reminds her of her beloved Sri Ram. She remembers how Sri Ram would wear this ring. And hearing the glorification of Ram from Hanuman and seeing the very ring that was always worn by Sri Ram, Srimati Sita Devi starts weeping uncontrollably. Uncontrollably. She's remembering all the time she had spent together with Ram and how deplorable her condition had become now. Thinking like this, she starts crying. Then, to dispel any further doubts in the heart of Srimati Sita Devi that Hanumanji is indeed Ramadut, he gives the final message. He says, "My dear Sita Devi, Ram is going to come and rescue you very soon. He was just waiting for confirmation about your location. Now I will go and I will tell him that you are here in Lanka. And very soon he will come and he will kill Ravan and all the Rakshasas and he will rescue you. But before I go, I need to give you a very confidential message from Ram, which will reassure you beyond doubt that I am indeed Ramdas. I am indeed a servant of Ram and I have indeed been sent here by Ram." And Sita says, "Yes, please tell me something that only Ram and I know." And Hanumanji says, "Yes, I will tell you." He says, he says that when you got married to Ram and you were coming back from Janakpur, from Mithila to Ayodhya, you were sitting on a chariot with Sri Ram. And there were so many devotees in procession following. There was Dasharatha Maharaj, three brothers of Sri Ram who were married to your three sisters. So it was a huge procession. And everybody was looking at you and Ram, because you were the apple of the eye, cynosure of everyone's eyes, the most beautiful sight to see Sita and Ram together. When everybody was looking at you all, Sri Ram, being very naughty, one of the displays of Sri Ram's romantic moods, transcendentally romantic moods and naughty moods, Sri Ramchandra, with his lotus foot, which is softer than freshly churned butter, Sri Ram placed his foot on Srimati Sita Devi's foot, sitting on the chariot when everyone was looking. And Sri Ram gently pressed the lotus foot of Sita Devi, touched her with his foot, because he was feeling shy to touch her with his hands in public. So with his leg, with his lotus foot, he touched Sita Devi on her foot. And Sri Ram has told me to tell you that when he did that, your lotus foot became pink, even more pink than what it normally is. And your face also flushed out of shyness. You became bashful when Sri Ram touched you like that. And then you started blushing and Lord Ram started smiling at you. And Hanumanji said, "Nobody knows this small little sweet incident other than you and Ram. And Ram told me to tell you this." And Sita said, "Yes, indeed, indeed. It was such a sweet memory. This is such a sweet memory. Thank you so much, Hanumanji, for reminding me of this very sweet memory." And then Sita Devi continues. She says to Hanumanji, "And do you know, Sri Ram's lotus feet, they are softer than butter, and yet he walked for 14 years in the forest on thorns, on sharp pebbles. And how I was feeling pain And at night, one night, I was trying to remove the thorns and pebbles from his lotus feet because I saw blood stains in his feet because of the thorns and the sharp pebbles. As I touched to remove the first thorn, Sri Ram, who was sleeping, immediately opened his eyes and told me, "Hey Sita, what are you doing?" And I told him that there are thorns and sharp pebbles that are stuck in your lotus feet. They are so soft. Because of that, you must be feeling a lot of pain. There is some blood also on your feet because of these thorns. So I thought, I will remove these thorns and sharp pebbles from your lotus feet so that tomorrow when you walk, it will not hurt so much. At that time, Sri Ram stopped me and he said, "Hey Sita, please do not remove these thorns and sharp pebbles from my feet." When I asked him the reason, he replied that it is my solemn vow that anyone who takes shelter of my lotus feet, I never reject that person. And these thorns and pebbles have taken shelter of my lotus feet. They have taken my shelter by getting stuck to my lotus feet. Therefore, being Bhakta Vatsal, I can never reject them. I can never remove them. So leave them as they are, please. Don't remove them. This is the compassionate nature of my Sri Ram. Although his lotus feet are so soft, but yet he is enduring all this pain out of his love for his devotees, including myself. This pastime, my dear friends, is very instructive for us. Please listen carefully. Please listen carefully. Lord Ramchandra did not allow Sita Devi to remove thorns from his feet, saying that they had taken shelter of his feet. We are these thorns. Our acharyas explained that these sharp pebbles and sharp thorns, which are pricking the soft lotus feet of Sri Ram, making him bleed, giving him pain, are neophyte devotees like us who make mistakes. We have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna and Ram. When we chant Hare Krishna, that means we are taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. But if you are committing aparad, if you are committing sins, if you are not following the principles properly, we are not sincere, we are speaking harsh words to devotees, we are giving pain to Sri Ram like the sharp thorns. But Lord Ram is so merciful that he will not reject us. He will not reject us. Therefore, my dear friends, it is our duty to try our best to change into soft petals of a flower from thorns. We are thorns, but we want to change ourselves into petals, soft petals, so that we don't give pain to Krishna, but we give pleasure to Krishna. This is what we can learn. So this very beautiful conversation took place between Hanuman and Sita Devi in Ashok Grove. And then Hanumanji said, "Can you also give me some token of acknowledgement which I can give to Sri Ram to reassure him that I have indeed found you?" Srimati Sita Devi immediately put her hands in her hair, and she had hidden a small jewel that Janak Maharaj had given her at the time of her marriage to Sri Ram. And she used to use this piece of jewelry to tie her hair. And she gave that jewel, that piece of jewelry, to Hanumanji and said, "Please give this to Ram. He knows this piece of jewelry that I always wear in my hair. It was given to me, it was gifted to me by my Janak Maharaj, my father." So Hanumanji takes it. And then Hanumanji requests, "Can you tell me one pastime between you and Ram that only two of you know, which I can narrate to Sri Ram, so Sri Ram will be convinced beyond doubt that I met you and you are still alive?" Because he's so anxious about you, he may think that you have died and I just brought your jewel back. But to prove to Ram, to prove to his tender heart that I have met living Sita, please tell me a pastime that only you and Ram know. Srimati Sita Devi smiled and she said, "Yes, I will tell you." And then she tells, "Please tell Sri Ram that I said, when we were in Chitrakoot, when we were living on the northern side of Chitrakoot, we would go down to the Mandakini Ganga River every day to have bath 3 times a day. And after bath, we would sport there. We would sit there, talk, spend nice time, very simple life. Once we were sitting on a rock at Chitrakoot on the banks of Mandakini Ganga River, Sri Ram placed his head on my lap and we were talking, and after some time he fell asleep on that rock. So just two of us sitting on the banks. Birds were chirping. There were lush green trees laden with fruits and flowers. It was very beautiful. Nice cool breeze was blowing. It was a clear sky. And we were having such transcendental sweet pastimes with each other. When suddenly a black colored crow came. And he came and he sat on the same rock on which we were sitting. And he started biting me, started attacking me. Actually, this crow was not an ordinary crow. Srimati Sita Devi said to Hanumanji that he was the son of Indradev. His name was Jayanta. And he wanted to test the strength of Ram. He did not believe that this Ram is Sakshat Vishnu. He is Bhagwan himself. So therefore, he was testing. And I tried to tolerate the pain of the bites that the crow was inflicting on me, because I did not want Ram's sleep to get disturbed. But then blood started trickling down from my body and it fell on Sri Ram and he woke up. He looked around and immediately knew what had happened. He saw the crow. When the crow saw the angry eyes of Sri Ram, he flew away. But Lord Ram picked up a piece of grass from the banks of Mandakini Ganga, chanted a mantra and threw it towards the crow. And that trina, that piece of grass, got transformed into the infallible weapon of the creator of this Brahmanda. And that is Brahmaji. It became a Brahmastra. And this Brahmastra started darting towards Jayanta, the crow, son of Indra Dev. Started chasing him. Wherever he went, the Brahmastra followed him. He went to his father, Indra. But the Brahmastra chased him there. Indra could not help. He said, "You are foolish. Why did you disturb Ram and Sita? I cannot help you from this Brahmastra." He went to Brahma. Brahmaji also could not help. He went to Shivji. Even Shivji could not help. He said, "We are no match for the wrath of Sri Ram." Finally, Jayanta the crow came. Just like Durvasa Muni was trying to escape the Sudarshan Chakra of Vishnu when he had offended Ambarish. Similarly, Jayanta came and fell at the lotus feet of Sri Ram, and Sri Ram chastised him. "You have troubled, you have caused pain to my eternal consort, Srimati Sita Devi. For this you must suffer." Finally, Jayanta took shelter of my lotus feet. I turned towards Sri Ram and told him, "Please forgive him. He's just your devotee. He was just acting little naughty. Please forgive him. Please forgive him. Don't kill him." As soon as I said that, and as soon as Jayanta, the crow, fell at my lotus feet and took shelter of my feet, Sri Ram withdrew. He withdrew the Brahmastra. But he said that my weapon never goes in vain. Therefore, it has to do something. So although the Brahmastra did not kill Jayanta, it blinded him in one eye, always reminding him of the mercy of Sri Ram that he received. He lost one eye, one of the two eyes. So Sita Devi told Hanumanji, "Please narrate this pastime to Sri Ram, and he will understand that you met me directly, because nobody else knows this pastime." So Hanumanji now has received the jewel from the hair of Srimati Sita Devi. He has received a confidential pastime from her. He has delivered Ram's ring to Sita Devi, and he has delivered Ram's message to her, and he has also narrated the confidential story of Sri Ram and Sita to Srimati Sita Devi. In this way, Hanumanji saves the life of Sita. As their beautiful conversation is going on, suddenly the sun begins to rise from the eastern direction. And they see that Hanumanji sees that Ravan is coming. He is very well decorated. He has just taken a bath. His body is anointed with fragrant oils. He is wearing finest silken robes. He is coming early in the morning. And on both sides are royal bards who are singing praises of Ravan, beautiful prayers composed in glorification of Ravan. There are musicians. There are his powerful Rakshas ministers. And Ravan appearing to be very handsome. As a Rakshasa, he could change his form. The very handsome personality, he was coming, marching happily towards Sita Devi. Hanumanji immediately hid in the woods. And Ravan came and stood very close to Srimati Sita Devi. He looked at her and then told her, "Please do not waste another day. It's almost been a year you have been suffering like this. Oh, beautiful eyed one, please come with me. I will make you my principal queen. You will enjoy all luxuries and opulences in Lanka. Even my principal wife, Mandodari, will become your servant. Please come. You will have the best food, best clothes, best luxuries, best comforts. I'll keep you happy. Just come with me. Accept me. Accept my hand. Take my hand. That Ram is not worthy of your love. He is so abominable that his own father banished him to the forest. His own mother kicked him out of Ayodhya. He has no good qualities. He has no home. He has no proper clothes. He cannot keep you comfortable. He cannot feed you properly. He cannot provide for you. He is just roaming around like a vanvasi in the forest. Give him up and accept my proposal." Sita Devi did not even look at Ravan. She picked up a piece of trina and held it between her and Ravan. And our acharyas explained different reasons why she held up that trina, that blade of grass. First reason is, she wanted to remind Ravan that you should be trina the piece of nature. You should be humble like a blade of grass. If you are not humble, you are arrogant, lusty, proud, angry, exploitative, then you will be made humble. You will be humbled. To remind him of that, she held that trina. Also, she held that blade of grass as a symbolic partition between her and Ravan. And thirdly, she wanted to remind Ravan that my beloved Ram, he is so powerful that he can even convert a simple blade of grass into a powerful Brahmastra. So holding that partition between her and Ravan, Srimati Sita Devi was taking solace. She was taking satisfaction and hope in the fact that my husband Sri Ram can even convert this blade of grass into a Brahmastra which can kill Ravan. So for many reasons, she held up that blade of grass. And then she spoke a very beautiful verse to Ravan. As I mentioned, the sun was rising in the eastern horizon. Srimati Sita Devi, reminding Ravan of the Surya Dev, she spoke, "Shakya lobhayitum naham aishwaryena dhanenava ananya raghavenaham bhaskarena prabhayatha." She says that shakya lobhayitum naham, there is no possibility. Shakya means possible. Shakya lobhayitum naham, naham means no. There is no possibility. There is no possibility of tempting me. Lobh means to tempt. There is no possibility of tempting me with Aishwarya and Dhan, with opulence and wealth. You cannot tempt me. Shakya lobhayitum naham aishwaryena dhanenava ananya raghavenaham bhaskarena prabhayatha. Oh Ravan, please don't criticize my husband Ram. I have given my heart to him. My heart belongs to him. And I cannot be separated from Ram. Ananya. Anya means to separate. Ananya means I cannot be separated from Ram. Just like Bhaskarena Prabhayatha. Just like you cannot separate the sun rays from Bhaskar, the sun. Similarly, you cannot separate Sita from Ram. Give up your false hope, O Ravan, and return me to my beloved husband, Sri Ram, she spoke. And then Srimati Sita Devi speaks something very, very wonderful, very, very beautiful. This is the second last point that we are going to make before we wrap up. Sita Devi says to Ravan, Shipram Tavasanatho Me Rama Saumitrina Saha Toyam Alpamivaditya Prananadasate Sharay. Srimati Sita Devi says to Ravan that Shipram Tavasanatho Me Rama. Very soon, Shipra means very soon, my Nath, my Lord, my husband, Ram will be here. Sita is telling the wicked Ravan that my husband Sri Ram will be here very soon. Shipram Tavasanatho Me Rama Saumitrina Saha. And who will he come with? Saumitri, the son of Sumitra, means Lakshman. This is very significant, my dear friends, that Sita Devi is so confident that Lakshman will come with Ram. Why? Because the last time they were together, Sita Devi had chastised Lakshman, had spoken very harsh words to Lakshman. She had pierced his heart with harsh words because she wanted him to go and save Ram. Sita Devi loved Lakshman like a mother. She would never speak harshly to Lakshman. She knew how glorious Lakshman was. But being transcendentally maddened with love for Sri Ram, when she heard Marichi demon crying out loudly in the voice of Ram, she thought that indeed my Ram is in danger. Just like Yashoda would think that Krishna is in danger. Just like the gopis would faint thinking that Krishna is walking bare feet in the forest. Thorns might prick him. Sharp pebbles might prick him. They would go unconscious thinking of that. Just like the friends of Krishna would almost lose their life when they would see a Krishna being swallowed by Bakasur. Similarly, when Sita Devi thought that Ram is in danger, some demon has attacked him and he's calling for help. Sita, Lakshman, help, help. She immediately wanted Lakshman to go because she knew she could not run as fast as Lakshman. She said, you go. Lakshman, you go and help Ram. But Lakshman refused to go because he knew that Ram is safe. And Ram had told him to stay with Sita and not leave her and protect her. Lakshman said, I am not going. I have to protect you. Don't worry, Ram is fine. But Sita wanted to make sure that Ram is fine. She wanted Lakshman to go. So to somehow persuade him to go, to convince him to go, in that great mood of tension and anxiety and panic and paranoia, she told Lakshman very harsh things. And that really hurt Lakshman. Finally, Lakshman was compelled to go and find Ram. So they had a fight. And after that, they never met. Because when Lakshman and Ram came back to the hut, Sita was already abducted by Ravan. So last time Sita had met Lakshman was when they were having a bitter argument. But see, my dear friends, here, Sita is 100% confident that when my Ram comes, my beloved Lakshman, my beloved child Lakshman, husband's younger brother is to be treated like a child according to Vedic culture. Lakshman, and because she is in that maternal mood with Lakshman, she is addressing him as Saumitri, son of Sumitra. So beautiful, so beautiful, so deep. Sita could have addressed Lakshman as Lakshman, but she is addressing him in that motherly bhav of Saumitri, son of Sumitra. Shipram Tavasanatho Me Ramah Saumitrina Saha. He will come with the son of Sumitra, Saha. And what will he do? Toyam Alpamivaditya Prananada Syate Sharay. Sharay means arrow. With their arrows, they will destroy your life, your pran. Just like Toyam Alpa, a small quantity of water. Toyam means water, Alpa means small quantity. Toyam Alpa Mivaditya, Aditya means sun, how it evaporates. Small quantity of water. If you keep a drop of water in the hot blazing sun in the month of May, what will happen? It will just disappear. It will evaporate. So just like small quantity of water is destroyed by the powerful blazing sun, similarly your prana, your life will be destroyed by the sun-like effulgent arrows of Ram and Lakshman. Shrimati Sita Devi speaks this to Ravan. Shipram tavasanatho me ramah saumitrina saha toyam alpamivaditya prananadasyate sharay. Very beautiful. And then Ravan becomes incensed hearing this. He says, you just wait. I'm giving you one more month. If in 1 month you don't become convinced and you do not submit to my demands, you don't become my wife, I will call my cooks to Ashok Vatika. They will cut you into pieces. They will cook your flesh and I will eat you for breakfast. Saying this, Ravan turns around and storms his way back to the palace. Hanuman is so angry. Upon seeing this, he makes up his mind that I will punish Ravan before going and I will teach him a good lesson. I will destroy his pride. I will destroy his Lanka before I go. But initially, Hanuman is so incensed. This is the last point, my dear friends. He's so incensed that after Ravan goes, he comes back to Mother Sita and he tells her, hey Sita, this Ravan is very unpredictable. He's a demon. He might kill you before Ram comes here. So without further delay, just climb on my back and I will take you to Ram. We can deal with him later. So Sita says, Hanuman, you are less than half my size. What are you talking? How will you carry me beyond the ocean, across the ocean? Hanumanji smiles and he decides to show his strength to Sita Devi. And he assumes his original form as Hanuman. Therefore, Goswami Tulsidas ji writes in Hanuman Chalisa, Sukshma Rupa Dhari Siyahi Dikhava Vikat Rupa Dhari Lanka Charava. When he showed himself to Sita Devi, he was in a Sukshma Rupa, very small form, very cute form. But when he was burning Lanka, Vikat Rupa, he assumed a very terrific, huge form. When he burnt Lanka, Vikata Rupa Dhari Lanka Charava. Rama Duta Atulita Baladhama Anjani Putra Pavana Sukanama. Jai Shri Hanuman. So Hanumanji showed his form. He reassured Sita Devi and told her, climb on my back. Let's leave this very instant. I cannot take the risk of leaving you here with these Rakshasis and Rakshas and Ravan. Now, this was a test for Sita Devi. She was tormented for almost a year in Lanka, all alone. No devotee association. Now finally she gets devotee association. And she has a real chance of being reunited with Ram. And here is a confirmed ticket, business class ticket, to go back home, back to Godhead. To go back home, back to Ram. On Hanuman's safe back. What does Sita say? She says that Ram is my husband and I was abducted by this wicked Ravan. As a Kshatriya, as my husband, as Raghunath, as Raghuveer, it is the duty of Ram to come and destroy these demons and then rescue me. If I escape with you, that will bring a blemish to the glory of Ram. I am willing to suffer here for several more days, no problem. But I will not tarnish the reputation of Ram, that he could not save me. Nobody should say that in the future, that Ram could not save me. I will wait for him. You go and give him the message. Hanumanji says, if it's a question of killing them, no problem. You climb on my back. Oh, Sita Devi, I have not even shown you 1% of my actual strength. Hanumanji says, actually, there is no limit to my strength, which is a fact. Because he is an expansion of Shivji, who is an expansion of Krishna. He is Hanumanji. There is no limit to his strength. And he's directly empowered by Ram. And Ram's strength is unlimited. So Hanumanji's strength is unlimited. Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to always say. Prabhupada never left Vrindavan. Prabhupada never left Vrindavan, but he is Parivrajakacharya. He traveled. No, Prabhupada never left Vrindavan. Why? Tamal Krishna Maharaj will explain. Prabhupada never left Vrindavan. In fact, a devotee never leaves Vrindavan. Why? Because a devotee never leaves Krishna. And Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavana parityajya padam ekam na gacchati. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, devotee never leaves Krishna, therefore a devotee never leaves Vrindavan. Very, very, very beautiful. So then, he says, I have not shown you my strength. Actually, I can easily pick up this whole island of Lanka. I can crush Ravan with one hand. I can crush his son Indrajit in another hand. I can kill all the demons with my slaps. I can pick up this whole island of Lanka and carry it along with you to Ravan right now. I am so angry with this Ravan, the way he has treated you. Just climb on my back. I will kill all the demons. I will kill all the demons and then I will take you to Ram. So don't worry. As far as killing the demons is concerned, that will not be lost. I will make sure that job is also done. So now what does Sita say? She says, and this is the last verse, and then we'll conclude. Sita Devi says, Kamam tvam api paryapto nihantum sarva rakshasan raghavasya yashohiye tvaya shastahe tu rakshasahe. She says to Hanumanji, my dear Hanuman, Kamam tvam api paryapto. I am 100% convinced, my dear Hanuman, that you are competent. Paryapto nihantum sarva rakshasan. You are competent to kill all the rakshasas, all the demons single-handedly. No doubt. I don't doubt you. But raghavasya yashohiye. If you do that, then raghavasya yasha, the fame, the glory of Ram, hiyet, will be diminished. People will criticize him that Ram could not kill Ravan. He had to use Hanuman to kill him. Raghavasya yasho hiye tvaya shastaye tu rakshasaye. If you kill all the rakshasas, then raghavasya yasho hiye. It will diminish the glory of our beloved Raghav, Raghupati Shri Ram. Therefore, don't kill the demons. Don't carry me on your back. You just go and deliver the message to Ram. And I will wait for him. I will suffer, but I will wait for him patiently for him to come and save me. But tell him, come soon, because Ravan's patience is running out. After a month, he will kill me. And I have no problem dying, but that will break the heart of Shri Ram. Therefore, please tell Ram to make haste and come quickly and rescue me after killing these wicked demons. So we will conclude by a little bit reflecting on this verse. Sita Devi has been suffering and she has this golden opportunity to escape. But she is not doing it. Why? Because if she runs away, escapes with Hanumanji, without Ram coming and doing the needful, the world will criticize Ram. Raghavasya yasho hiyek. The yasha, the glory of Ram, will be diminished. And she is also fearful that Hanumanji's reputation may get tarnished. That he is not an ideal servant because he crossed his boundaries. Ram had told him to find Sita and deliver a message to Sita. But he overstepped his boundary, Maryada Vyatikrama. He overstepped his boundaries. He stepped on Ram's toes and he did what Ram was supposed to do. He killed Ravan. He carried Sita. He brought Sita back across the ocean. No. So Hanumanji will be criticized by being a foolish servant who oversteps his boundaries, does Maryada Vyatikrama. And Ram will also be criticized for not doing his duty. So it will be a lose-lose situation. For me, it will be a win situation. But for Ram and Hanuman, it will be a lose situation. It will be a losing proposition. So I am willing, Sita is saying, I am willing to suffer more and willing to wait. But I don't want Ram to be criticized and I don't want Hanumanji to be criticized. This is the loving heart of Sita Devi. And this is the loving heart of Hanumanji, that Hanumanji knows Maryada. He knows the rules, he knows the ethics, he knows the moral codes. He knows that it is not his job to carry Sita Devi. He knows it is not his job to kill Ravan. But he is willing to do that to diminish the sufferings of Sita Devi. And Sita Devi is willing to suffer more to protect the reputation of Hanumanji as the ideal servant of Ram. This is so beautiful, my dear friends. With this reflection, with this meditation, we will conclude our series of discussions on Sri Ram, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanumanji. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, we are 16 minutes over time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, Jai Shiva Prabhupada, Jai Shri Guru Shri Gauranga. So Prabhuji, it's really so heart touching and melting when you are speaking Ram Katha, especially about the Sita in this session. You are saying that it's 16 minutes over time. I feel like we can hear more and more from you. Very, very instructive and very, very heart touching at the same time. When you are speaking, it feels like it is transporting us to the past time where it is happening. So much emotions gets invoked, and the practical lessons that we are getting from you. Especially this one, the two, but specifically that swabhava, like we should act according to our capacity, and when our superiors give us service, that also they give us based on our swabhava. So I have a question about this. Is like, yes, that is true. Theoretically, I know all about it. That yes, whatever service is given to me is, superiors when they give, it is based on my swabhava. But at the same time, I know that there are anarthas in my heart, and the envy and the tendency to compare with others. So, even though theoretically I know that I shouldn't be doing all these things when comparing different services go to different devotees based on their capacity and the gift that Krishna has given to each one of us. But still there is that tendency to compare and, have that envious feeling which shouldn't be there. So I just want to express that and also seek the blessings and prayers of everyone on the call and you also. So that by hearing these pastimes and meditating on these pastimes, I can get over these demoniac tendencies that I have in my heart. And if you want to further give some more on this topic, I request you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji. Is this Kasturi Manjari, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your heartfelt realizations. It is my realization also. I cannot say my realization. It is my misfortune, my weakness also. So we are conditioned souls, Mataji. And I will just give one reflection on what you said and one inspirational example based on what you said, and then we can wrap up. So one reflection on what you said is, this is what I try to do with myself. Instead of comparing with others, instead of comparing ourselves with others, we should compare ourselves with ourselves. 1 year ago, how many rounds Adi Gadadhar Das was chanting last April? Last April, how much Bhagavatam had he read? How much Chaitanya Charitamrita had he read? How much Bhagavad Gita had he read? last year, how much services he was doing in the local ISKCON temple. Last year, how he was serving the devotee, how I was serving different devotees in different capacities. Compared to that, have I increased the quality and quantity of my seva? So we have to compare with ourselves. His Holiness Mahavishnu Maharaj, one of the great acharyas in our ISKCON, followers of Srila Prabhupada, Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj used to say, always compare yourself with yourself. Last year, how many rounds I was chanting? Last year, how much service I was doing? Last year, how much reading I was doing? Last year, how much hearing I was doing? Last year, how was my consciousness? How many times I was acting lustily? How many times I was acting enviously? Like that, we have to compare with ourselves. Instead of comparing with others, how many likes others are getting or how many opportunities others are getting, instead of that, we should see how was my consciousness last year, this time. And we have to compete with ourselves and try to better and better ourselves, purify ourselves. That is one reflection, Mataji, which has helped me. And second is something very beautiful. If we do this, then if we are sincere, then Krishna gives beautiful miracles, beautiful experiences. Let us ask one question. In Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that the Sita that Ravan kidnapped was not the real Sita. How can the lusty Ravan touch Srimati Sita Devi? It was an illusory Maya Sita that was created, and Ravan kidnapped a Maya Sita. So Ravan never spoke to Sita, never touched Sita, never saw Sita. None of the Rakshasas did. Everybody agrees this. Is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita? Now the question is, Mataji, but when Hanumanji met Sita Devi in Ashok Vatika, he asked her some confidential pastime that only Ram and Sita knows. And this Maya Sita, apparently who is Maya Sita, was able to tell the pastime with the crow on the banks of Mandakini Ganga in Chitrakoot. Nobody knew that. And she was able to recognize the pastime that Hanumanji also told about what happened on the Rath when they were coming back soon after marriage from Mithila to Ayodhya. How she became shy and blushed when Ram touched her on the foot publicly. That sweet pastime is there. And then she was able to recognize the ring of Ram. And she was able to give the hair jewel of her own to Hanuman to be given to Ram, which Janak Maharaj had given. So this was Maya Sita. How did this happen? How was she suffering in Ashok Vatika? How can Sita suffer in Ashok Vatika? And Ram and Ravan came and spoke to her in the presence of Hanuman. So how do we explain this? How did Maya Sita know all this? How did she get the hair jewel of Sita Devi? His Holiness, my spiritual master, His Holiness Shri Radhanath Swami Maharaj explains this deep mystery. Hare Krishna. Very, very sweet. And we'll conclude with this. Shri Radhanath Maharaj explains, Ye yathamam prapadyante thamstathaiva bhajamyaham. He says that as you approach Krishna and Krishna's eternal consort, Srimati Radharani, or Sita and Ram in this case, they reciprocate accordingly. They reciprocate with us based on our attitude, the way we approach them. Ravan approached lustily. So he got darshan of Maya Sita, illusory Sita made of flesh and blood. But because Hanumanji approached with pure love, with bhakti bhav, he saw Chinmaya Sita. He saw the original spiritual Sita, the eternal consort of Sri Ram, who is Satchidananda Vigraha, just like Sri Ram. So because Hanumanji approached with love and devotion, the Sita that he spoke to was the real Sita. But because Ravan and all the Rakshasis, they looked with anger or lust or arrogance, they only spoke with Maya Sita. So this is such a sweet spiritual truth and mystery, which means, my dear friends, our Gaur Nitya duties at home, Our Jagannath Baladev Subhadra did is at home. If we approach them as just wood or metal, that is what we will get. We will get the result of offering aarti to wood and metal. But if we approach with the humility, love, sincerity of Hanumanji, then we are actually Sakshad associating with Gaur Nitai, actually associating with Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, actually associating with Sitaram, Radha Krishna. So we have to be sincere, we have to compete with ourselves, competing with how dirty I was yesterday, today I have to be a little better, tomorrow I have to be even better, like that. Making our way towards Krishna, marching towards Krishna, not away from Krishna. So I just wanted to end the class with this very beautiful realization that Srila Radhanath Maharaj shares in 2014 South India Yatra. Hare Krishna.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you so much. Eternally grateful to you for sharing this. I mean, really, like, and I beg for blessings and prayers of everyone that this thorn and stubble like me can be like better like by meditating on these pastimes and trying to apply what I have learned today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji, for your sincerity. I am 100% convinced that you are far, far, far more advanced than me. So thank you for your association. Thank you, all of you. For your association. If it is okay, if you can give me permission, I will leave your association now because I'm getting a lot of calls from the hospital. So all of you can continue discussion, but I will hang up now. My humble obeisances to all of you. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila
Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila
Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for this very wonderful class. Hare Krishna. I would like to end this call and pay my obeisances. Vancha kalpa darubhyasya kripa sindho deye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, शिल प्रसाद की जय, राम कथा की जय, हिज ग्रेस आदि गदाधर प्रभु जी की जय। थैंक यू प्रभु जी।